Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Your Questions Answered. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to answer all of your burning wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to answer all of your burning wrestling questions live on YouTube. And we will get to them in due course.
Imminently.
But I feel like I have to start today's podcast, Sidge, by asking you a simple question that a lot of people have probably asked over the last few days. And I know a lot of people have been looking forward to your reaction to what happened on AEW Dynamite, what with all the WrestleMania stuff. We haven't been in to talk about it. So, very simply, Michael Sidgwick, what the hell happened to AEW?
God, beats me. It beats me. I enjoyed immensely Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Post pay-per-view, there were so many intriguing developments. Match quality was very, very high, even by AEW standards. I even went as far as to say, I think the feeling might be back.
Yeah.
I think the feeling might be back. Then I embark on a flight from London Heathrow to Philadelphia. And then what happens? We land. We grab a pizza from the nearest joint we could find. Take it to the Airbnb, settle down to watch last week's Dynamite. No.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, the Dynamite. And Drainmaker opens the show. Cutting a rah-rah baby face, we love AEW speech.
So we're the best wrestle.
We're the best wrestle indeed. And I'm watching Adam Copeland do this, and I'm thinking, why... why are you doing this? Obviously, that promo and the resulting insanity of the next fortnight all spins off from CM Punk on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani, in which he gives his side of the story about Wembley, about Brawl Out, about his entire AEW career generally. And the thing is, if there was no response from AEW, I don't think anybody would have cared.
No.
In fact, if they just went, yeah, heard it all before, yeah, whatever, let's just do what we are doing. Let's just keep doing what we are doing. Instead, there is absolute head loss all over the show. Copeland does this, and then he says, right, and it's just inviting. The promo in itself and the delivery and the content is already, tell, don't show. Which is what we don't want. We want show, don't tell. And then what you're ultimately doing by saying, look at the dream matches we could have. Look at the dream rivalries. Look at what we've done for the business. You're only going to invite yourself to deeper scrutiny by lobbing your cock out on the table, basically. So for Copeland to start the show by saying, look, there's dream matches. We're best for the industry. Everyone's really happy here, blah, blah, blah. Why do you feel the need to tell me that? That's suspicious in and of itself. And then you have Billy Gunn beating who eats people alive in singles matches, and more people need to talk about this. Or, better yet, he needs to not work singles matches anymore because they never flatter his opponents and they're never good. So that is a terrible look. It's a really bad night. Everything's good, not great. Everything good is repetitive. A bad Dynamite. And then We are in the cab on WrestleMania night one or night two.
Yeah, something like that.
One of the WrestleManias. And we're just, you know, getting some work done, getting ready to produce the content, go to sleep, whatever. We get on Twitter, oh, they're going to show the Wembley footage. What? My thoughts on that before we get into the footage and other things that have affected really negatively AEW over the last however many days. I was into the idea, not because I thought it was a good look for the company, mind you, but how many times have you read on listicles and message boards and whatever, oh, you know, Jericho and Goldberg had a fight once. I'm thinking, what? And you read about it. And, you know, RVD and Taz had a fist fight backstage. And, you know, Arn Anderson and Sid stabbed each other with scissors. And you're thinking, it's not even Holy Grail stuff. Because the thing about the Holy Grail is that you hope one day to find it. You're never going to find footage of that. What was it, Blackburn, Sid versus Arn? Like, you never hope to see anything like that. The idea of a backstage shoot fight being broadcast, it's not even Holy Grail because you don't even dream to find it. No. On a personal, subjective level, that's something I've always wanted to see and never thought possible. It was terrible of the company to do it, and it turned out to be the case, but I was banging to seeing it. And then I saw it, and I thought, well, who cares?
Yes.
It didn't look that good. I guess it confirmed. Then again, like CM Punk, there was a story, and I don't know who floated this to the media originally, of Perry was the aggressor. Perry came flying in. Punk defended himself. Blah, blah, blah. Evidently, that wasn't the case. But who submitted that story? Who, like, it was an unnamed source all along. People connected the dots. CM Punk potentially never did the best job of saying, oh, it was from Punk's camp or whatever. You know how these things go, but evidently not. Jack Perry looked almost a little bit timid, like he'd been called out. His body language, and that's all we can go on, there was no sound. His body language seemed to indicate a sheepish look, expression on his face. We don't know what was said. Punk's obviously gone from it. It was very quickly broken up. Punk's raged over to where we presume Tony Khan was. You can infer from that footage that it didn't look to me that Punk looked under threat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What did this seek to achieve? Everyone had already had their opinions reinforced in their heads by themselves over the months when they've collated the reports and made their own interpretation. The problem, and this extends far beyond wrestling in 2024 and in a series of just insane years before this point, is that you can offer people incontrovertible proof of something that has happened, and they will still go, nah, it didn't happen. What are you talking about? It's like, well, here's incontrovertible proof that what you're saying is wrong. Okay. Mm. People will not be swayed one way or the other, so this accomplished nothing. Here's an example of what I'm talking about, as if you haven't experienced it. People say, I know Tony Khan, he's just the son of a billionaire and bought his way to success. I'm a WWE fan.
Yes.
How do you think Vince McMahon Jr. got the start? Like, do you not think he had the most moneyed regional territory at the time? Can you not see, like, a parallel here that might make you seem a little bit like a hypocrite? Nah. Good. Well, what can you say to that? These tactics don't work. Very few people will be swayed from their originally held opinions through brainwashing, bias, whatever. So it's achieved nothing. And it was just a succession of things on last week's Dynamite where I'm thinking, oh, you've just lost it, and it's really annoying that you've lost it. So you've got the footage from Wembley, which was pretty much how I expected it to go.
Yeah.
Who cares? On top of that, you have got the Will Ospreay, Paul Levesque dig. I think the bloke is well within his rights, considering what he endured in Japan during the pandemic, how much he's wanted to give back to British wrestling, when realistically, if he had a bloody, you know, Will Ospreay could have just went, that's a dumpster fire. I will not put my name on that. And yet he's tried to do business for RevPro. He didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
He was already a well-established New Japan star, former IWGP world champion. He felt a loyalty to the scene that made him and grinded to try and elevate it before he went to do his big payday, right? He, Will Ospreay, when no one asked him to do it, no one reasonably expected him to do it, decided, oh, I'm going to do some cool stuff in Impact. What? Why would you do that? Because he wanted to, because he had a long-held ambition and he considers himself a workhorse. Only for Levesque to turn around and go, ah, he's afraid of it. Like, oh, you're taking the piss. That is Paul Levesque, who, for the last however many years of his career, decided to work once a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're afraid of the grind. Like, what makes you so special? You're only doing WrestleMania and SummerSlam, or maybe a Survivor Series, etc. I can understand if you are Will Ospreay, you are really, really pissed off. Because I've read, or rather listened to, several interviews / podcasts where Ospreay has talked about his negotiations with WWE. He could not have been nicer. He said, oh, I respect everyone who does that. It's not for me.
Yeah.
He would rather work a lighter schedule. How many bumps does he take in a regular AEW match compared to what he would be taking if he did a Raw and, I don't know, two or three house shows? I would argue the same amount of bumps.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, that's how it works. You've got high intense, in-ring heavy, action forward style on an AEW TV match that's more intensive on your body than, or as intensive on your body as multiple WWE TV matches per week. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Doing both on the same show, it's like, oh, he's gotten to.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that desperation that he's gotten to. And then you've got Jericho's new gimmick of, oh, Hook's my protege. He's not listening to me. He's not taking my veteran advice. And I'm thinking, you know what this is? This is somehow CM Punk has returned. You know, you got like a franchise and under the worst or like most contrived circumstances imaginable, Freddy Krueger comes back. And I'm not equating CM Punk
no.
to, you know, molesting Return from the Dead serial killer. I'm just using a very loose analogy yeah. here. Somehow Emperor Palpatine has returned. Oh, there's an 18th Freddy film where he's been brought back somehow under these ridiculously contrived. This whole last 2 to 3 weeks of AEW has felt like an absolutely awful horror movie sequel. It's like, oh, he's back. How? Oh, and it's rubbish. We can't escape it.
Morale's all over the place.
If you just watched the interview and went, yep, he's putting us through the mud. You know what we'll just do? Get our head down and do the friggin' work.
We've got Dynasty in a week and a bit.
People were really excited about it. People were genuinely thinking, yes, the gates aren't the same, that the momentum's there. It's as if from CM Punk getting signed to Brawl Out, that, and I'm not saying it's his fault. I think some of the things he comes out with are incredibly reasonable. Some of his critiques of the company and what mm-hmm. they do. Look at the Copeland promo. That proved CM Punk's point. How many tickets did that sell? It took, what, 10 minutes?
Oh, it felt long.
What interest was built in an AEW match on the back of that Copeland program? Because after he made his debut, was it Wrestle Dream? He said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I want to go in there and wrestle Kenny Omega. I want to go in there and wrestle X, Y, and Z. He hasn't really since. So you just said the same things you did 6 months ago, and now we're getting Adam Copeland versus Will Ospreay next week? Are we bollocks? He proved CM Punk right. Anyway, it's as if through Punk's input, through AEW's response to Punk's input, a balance of the two, CM Punk has like irrevocably changed the DNA of that company. I hate it. It's as if this shadow has cloaked AEW at this point between a third and a half of the time AEW has existed. The idea that it came back, the idea that they sold for him in that Ariel Helwani interview, I was just despairing. It's like, is the power gone already? I was already tentative to say it was back in the first place. If they want to finally move on, and the worst thing is it felt like they had, ignore him at all costs.
Yeah.
He's thriving. You already look second rate in terms of gate
companies.
Attendances. Just pretend he no longer exists because it's getting pathetic. There's an air of not again. Like, you just cannot separate AEW from CM Punk's time in AEW. It's getting extremely torturous to me. I thought we'd finally moved on. Going forward, if his name is never even alluded to on AEW television or by an AEW roster member on social media, even these indirect allusions, these just leave it well alone. Because you know what happens when you leave it well alone and you do some really good work, is that people start thinking things like, oh, the feeling might be back.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really invested in this product again. Because that had happened up to, at, and just beyond Revolution.
The thing was as well, yeah, it felt like they turned a corner from what, the Continental Classic? It felt like that. They were like, right, let's get back to our roots. Just put class wrestling on every week.
Like intramatch storytelling as well.
All of that. My favourite thing out of all of this is them coming out in the immediate aftermath and saying, that's it, we're drawing a line under the CM Punk thing now. It's a bit late for that, isn't it? And then you've already, like, it's so weird because they couldn't say his name and the footage, obviously, and then this footage isn't being uploaded to YouTube, the YouTube version. It's just...
All it accomplished was yet another Dax Harwood I Love Wrestling rah-rah speech as well. It's like, I open X every day and read that. I don't follow him on Instagram, but I'll see the screenshot from Instagram. If you're with me, if you're with us, you're my family. Oh, calm down, brother. I prefer to watch you in action than not. That doesn't mean I'm in your family.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I have to, you know, sacrifice my flesh at the god of pro wrestling. I just want to like it. I just want it to be a nice distraction from the drudgeries of my life. Not ride or die with a tag team. You are really good. You know what I mean? All that built to was Dax Harwood of FTR doing another, I love this business, AEW's great speech. It's like, you do that every week. Was he CM Punk for this?
Yeah,
it was a hollow ratings ploy.
And it didn't even really... It did well. It increased the ratings, but nowhere near to what it used to be when CM Punk was on the show.
No, like, they did it, if I recall, 0.36 for Joe versus MGF. And I've been reliably informed that MGF torpedoed the company. They've dropped a 0.13 on average. Those 2 weeks before the Wembley footage, they dropped 0.13 from Grand Slam to what, a month ago?
Yeah. And it just feels like it's been completely derailed the path to Dynasty, where we're going to get probably one of the matches of the year before we even get there. Arguably, potentially two. Pac Omega could steal the show if they're being put up against Danielson Ospreay. You're presumably going to get the crowning of Swerve as world champion, which we've been waiting on for ages. Thunder Rosa fighting Toni Storm for a title she never lost. All this really exciting stuff. No one's talking about that now, are they?
That's the thing. CM Punk is too charismatic, too seismic, a force of nature to just not... You have to ignore him. He did the best possible job of doing that, up to and including at Revolution.
So just shot themselves in the... Is this the biggest mistake in AEW's history?
No. They've made several. It's up there. It's up there because for the longest time, without pulling these publicity stunts, even when they'd barely mentioned him, the greatness of that CM Punk run and the way they'd rolled out the red carpet... I cannot believe I'm talking about this again. It's so... Soul destroying.
We will get to all the questions.
We will, imminently. It's just, you've squandered. How long did it take that goodwill to really start to come back? It didn't take as long as I expected, but between what I want to say, October 2023, it was 6 long months. And the Continental Classic, as you rightly point out, Wilborn, did really well. But you still just think, oh, is this an aberration?
Mm.
Is this a bit of playing to the gallery of, let's just do a G1? They've always wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while to consistently put out great product and then build the trust back. What if CM Punk has another meltdown? What if he just decides, that's that easy, is it? Well, I'll just talk about it again. It's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretend he doesn't exist anymore.
It didn't help anyone as well. This is my big takeaway from it, of... okay, if you did this and then you're like, but imagine the heat when Jack Perry comes back. People are just going to chant for CM Punk.
Did you see, having said all of that, did you see the Windy City Riot stuff? Was that the name of the show, the New Japan
show? Yeah,
the... Did you watch the Perry match?
No.
It was great. Like, they might actually have something with them. So the juries, I'll let that one play out. I don't know if it was just a situational thing where he was in Chicago or how long he can really do this character for. But my God, it worked on that night.
Thanks to everyone who's joined us on YouTube. Thank you for all your questions. We'll try and get through as many as we can. First one that came was from Matt Raines.
Hey! The number one mega fan.
He needs that today. He says, happy Monday, gents. Needed this after whatever the hell that was from my beloved Reds yesterday. City going to win the league again, aren't they? I don't have a question because of the title of the video sums it up. The power's gone. I can't see it coming back. Cheers, gents. This is the thing is you know, we were accused for large parts of last year of being anti-AEW, negative towards AEW.
It has to be one or the other, doesn't it?
You
nuance cannot exist.
You wrote a book about your adoration from AEW from the start, from before it even started. And yes, I'll hold my hands up and say sometimes we say things about AEW, and you say, well, why wouldn't you say that about WWE? But that's because, as we talked about on the Raw preview earlier on today, WWE had been so bad for so long, you were just like, any improvement will take at that point.
There's no expectation.
But we held AEW to a very, very high standard. And this is the thing, is when people were saying, I'm not going to go into this again too much, but when people would say, oh, you're so negative towards AEW, they'd also be the same people who would say, after the Continental Classic, power's back.
Oh, so you agree? So you agree? It's the same thing with the Fed?
Yeah.
All those years. 2019, I remember it vividly. You know why? Because it was only 5 years ago. Vividly on this podcast, in articles, on social media. This is slop. This is the worst crap I might have ever seen, genuinely, right? And I was like, I'm biased. You like this AEW thing, do you? AEW looks very promising, actually. I'm very excited about it. Oh, but you should be more fair. Why? look at 2019 WWE.
Yeah.
Gestures broadly and everything. And now what's the news trend on X? People compiling videos of the worst of 2019. It's the backstage area collapsing on Roman Reigns, the doppelganger.
Dog food.
It's like, real ones had to put up with this. Well, first of all, you didn't. What you could have done is stop watching and left me alone for criticizing it. Real ones had to put up with this to see the good times. Oh, there were great times back then. I was reliably informed. Just be normal, man. Just be normal. And the thing is, was privileged to meet so many great, nice, lovely wrestling fans over WrestleMania weekend. Like, absolutely tons of them. We are talking again and amplifying again what I genuinely believe is a small vocal minority of complete morons. And I will try my level best not to waste too much time on them going forward.
Johan Benson says, are you still optimistic about AEW based on everything that came before this clanger? I feel that they can put this behind them if Dynasty is a success.
Yeah, to a degree, yes. I don't know if it's a case of recalibrating expectations, but, I was watching WrestleMania, and you cannot be live. You see the vista of fans, this incredible spectacle. It's unbelievable feel-good results. Like, WWE being the feel-good company, that's surreal. That will take some getting used to. And you think, what have they got other than the momentum? Other than the brand value, the history, that sort of all-important market share and perception as the big leagues. Like, AEW has got a mountain to climb to ever scale those heights. I don't want them to. I want them to be a viable, out-front alternative. But there's an alternative. Hey, 2021 AEW versus an alternative. It looks more like TNA to this day than 2021 AEW. That saddens me. And going back, what have they got? I'm looking at Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. I'm looking at the final boss and the manner. Gunther. Like, AEW needs, I honestly think, proper baby faces and heels. I'm looking at this world title program. And look, I think there's some good work. And I think Joe and Swerve between them are fantastic. How much is this working, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's tweener city. It's good. It's not great. I don't think anyone's saying it's great or seminal or iconic or on the level of anything truly seminal that AEW has produced in its short history. And it just doesn't feel like Cody versus Roman, does it? It doesn't feel like this really great, good guy is going to finally vanquish the bad guy. And I'm not saying that's how every story needs to be told, but when you've got the Blackpool Combat Club,
mm-hmm.
and you have got Swerve Strickland, and you have got Samoa Joe, and it's tweener stuff, and maybe they need to simplify the dynamics.
They've got a very good baby face in Will Ospreay, obviously. But even that's most technically even there, because he's associated with Don Callis' family.
And that's another, yeah, it feels like there are certain basics being missed out on, and this, whatever since, basically, World's End to now, it's been a tweenerific top world title program, because even when Hangman Page was involved in it, he was, guess what, a tweener again. That role traditionally has never drawn money.
No.
Like, Cody Rhodes tried to say, oh, babyfaces and heels don't exist. Tried to escape his own destiny. He used that line, that you find your destiny on the path you take to avoid it. This is the man who, upon leaving 2016, WWE in 2016, he had the right idea. He kept saying, there's no baby faces and heels, there's stars, people don't want their intelligence insulted. How did he become a megastar? By being the best baby face.
Yes.
I just think maybe some proper, simplified, unifying stories need to be told in AEW. And I hate saying that, because the worst people say things along those lines. But what they do is they take a kernel of truth,
yeah,
and then they completely embellish it in bad faith. It's just this tweener stuff in the world title program needs to end, and it needs to end soon.
Hi to OG Stem Cell in the comments.
Yeah,
great to finally meet you at the live show. OG Stem Cell says, glad to see the whole gang back together. It was a pleasure meeting Dr. Fed and Sige at the live show. With Swerve most likely winning at Dynasty, who would you like his first title feud be with? Also, did you guys get to try the Stone Cold IPA I brought to the live show for you guys? Wondering what you thought of the beer. Cheers. It was delicious. We had it pre-night two of Mania, it must have been.
Yeah, we basically didn't even wait for it to get cold.
No, we...
That's how much we wanted that beer.
And all of us wanted it so much, we split it, didn't we? Because there was five people who wanted to have a drink.
Five people who wanted to have a drink. And yeah, it all worked out nicely. Though.
Delicious.
Big cans. Thank you so much.
Thank
really
you.
Nice to meet you. I thought the beer was delicious. It was such an appreciated gift. Could have been colder, but that was our greedy ass fault. We could have just put it in the fridge and waited for like a nightcap. It was like, nah, greedy. Very, very, very piney.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that. I do like that in my IPAs.
So, yeah, who do you want Swerve to fight with first when he becomes world champion, if he becomes world champion?
Well, again, it's weird. Like, who's a credible heel that... it's an element of filler that you need. This is a problem with the expanded pay-per-view schedule, I think. Who's like a top heel in AEW right now? Who isn't Joe, who everyone loves, so it doesn't really work? I don't know.
I mean, I'd say Malakai Black, but then that's a singles match, so...
I don't think Malakai Black's on that level of a pay-per-view headliner. I think his last singles match against Brian Keith, you know, I don't think he looked particularly good. Maybe it's rust going that long on your Todd, on your lonesome.
Jay White's a heel.
Yeah, but Jay White's finished. Jay White got finished last year, got even more finished this year. What was that match?
You and I was like, it was so surreal, because I was so looking forward to, you know, I've watched many a WWE show with Dr. Fed.
It's a good question, by the way. That's why I can't answer it.
Yeah. I've watched many a WWE show and watched him be giddy about, and to be fair, we were at the Supercard with Bucks and Briscoes and FTR jumping around. I was so excited to watch you in your element live watching Dynamite. It was so deflating with us going, they do know they're out of commercial.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Weird.
Ibu of Wrestle Purists suggested if they can keep him hot and return him to TV, like Jack Perry.
Yeah.
This reaction really was something. Go and check it out if you haven't already. It's a really good match as
How
well.
How many shows have they got? Because you sense the end game is Swerve Ospreay All In, right?
Yeah.
How many shows have we got between now and there? Not Dynamites, but yeah, we got Double or Nothing and...
Double or Nothing and Forbidden Door. Like Forbidden Door, you'd hope, kind of books itself... Swerve versus Shingo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have to do much build. Like, the novelty is the build almost. And in fact, if you look at Forbidden Door 2022 versus 2023, the idea is don't book these programs in an episodic US TV way because it just doesn't work. It's the one time you can just do a match graphic and say, you know what, fucking here, it's class, have it. There's not many heels and baby faces who you can, like, slot together. Who would you put?
This is it. I'm rapidly trying to rack my brain here for someone that you could put in as a heel, like you say. But then again, do you want to go full babyface with Swerve? Because he's not going to be a babyface when we get to London.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. You can. London will be different. But there is no, on the horizon, the thing that draws the most
Okada?
Money. It's too soon.
Too soon, yeah.
You don't want to beat him.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that has drawn the most money historically across professional wrestling, if you look at Hogan Andre, Hogan Savage, Austin McMahon, Cody Roman, right, is a proper babyface going up against a proper heel. That's what people are interested in seeing. You look at the drop-off in terms of buys between WrestleMania 5 and WrestleMania 6. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
But your proper heel, he's literally just lost his title, Christian Cage.
That, to me, I think Christian Cage is phenomenal. I think that's not a hot take. Everyone has realised just how good he is. What a wonderful thing for him and for us to watch it. That doesn't disassociate AEW from its sort of TNA-leaning. Oh, that's what we're going with then. I mean, it's probably great, but it's not this big-time alternative. You know what I mean? Maybe Christian Cage. I don't hate that. I don't hate it, but at the same time, it doesn't really. It's not Cody MGF sized in the build. It's not Omega Page. It's not Punk MGF. Maybe it's a sign of the times and I need to be more realistic. I don't know.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quaz, thank you for your question. Hi guys, with the better TNA slash WWE working relationship, do you see the local hero this June at Clash at the Castle?
Joe Hendry, local hero.
Also, do you think Jacob Fatu could challenge Solo for Bloodline leadership now Roman's gone?
Well, so we'll do the first question first. I'm an idiot, man. I have two questions in my head. Ask us one and then the other, please.
Yes. Say his name and he appears. Do you believe Joe Hendry will make an appearance
say
at Clash of the Castle?
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I think Joe Hendry is a charismatic force of nature. Is so entertaining.
Yeah.
He's seen his body recently as well.
Hang on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his gut. The thing about Joe Hendry in WWE, that was a question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I'd love to hear.
The about Joe Hendry's gimmick, the rap was, originally, how can you do that in wrestling? It's fair enough to do it in ICW and all the rest of it. We're talking about licensed pop songs, over which you do parody lyrics, etc., etc. WWE won't even license music
yeah.
for the purpose of doing good entrances, let alone to be parodied. What has WWE got? Even though they don't use this anymore for reasons that are completely beyond my comprehension, they have their own library over which they own the rights mm-hmm. to earworm. Like, they own their own music library with which Joe Hendry can sing parody lyrics over in any kind of program or feud. It doesn't matter. It's like, obviously he's not going to feud with Shawn Michaels. That doesn't mean he can't use the tune of Sexy Boy, much like Kurt Angle did once yeah. upon a time, to take the piss out of another wrestler. Right, okay. Doesn't mean he can't sing parody lyrics over the top of... Gives a great WWE theme song lyrics. There's millions.
Yeah. I mean, you're spoiled for choice within...
And he could just use... Right, I'll use... whatever. I'll use... The Brood theme to take the piss out of Karrion Kross. You know what I mean? Just off the top of my head. He can, his gimmick would absolutely work in WWE. And if you look as well at the paradigm shift, the other rap on Hendry is that he's not going to give you a 6.25 star match. Do WWE fans want to see this?
Mm.
Who's more over in WWE? LA Knight. I was expecting the yeah.
Oh, sorry.
What are your manners?
Yeah.
LA Knight or Johnny Gargano?
Yeah.
Who's got a better... Observer Award rating, whatever. The conditions are right. The zeitgeist is right. But Joe Hendry, local hero. I think he deserves a shot as well. What a grafter he is. I think he'd be so over with them.
I was going to say, some people would argue you need to do, you know, hours and hours of video package to introduce new people to fans. You send him out there at the OVO, it's going to be a ridiculous... It's one of the loudest pops of the night.
I don't want to reduce WWE fans. I've had so many nice WWE fans for this. And I don't want to do the old thing of that they just like catchphrases. They do like catchphrases an awful lot. We were walking around the WrestleMania XL complex, if you like, Lincoln Financial Field. And it was just, you know what can I say as well? What a life-affirming experience. Loads of people from loads of different backgrounds literally coming together in this shared hobby, escapism. And it was just nice. A sense of community. All that... Culture war was completely out the window. People getting on. It was really nice. Yeet, yeet. You can walk around the WrestleMania complex, go, yeet. And it's like strangers in that moment become your mate.
Mm.
It's a bit sad. I don't care. I loved it. It was nice. You could do the same thing, WrestleMania 41, and just go, say his name and he appears. Somebody else across the street will go, I believe in Joe Hendry. The entire street would then go,
yeah.
That's what, he's tailor-made for WWE.
What do you reckon to Jacob Fatu, solo bloodline stuff? I really like the addition of Tama Tonga on SmackDown.
I thought it was done well. Didn't get much of a reaction, but that's just the WWE audience, and they will eventually embrace someone like Tama Tonga, I think.
Speaking of bodies.
Oh, my God.
Great body. Really good. Can I swear yet?
Yeah.
It's a really good talker, Tama Tonga.
Yes.
Really good talker. He's handsome as all hell. I think he'll fit like a glove in WWE. And again, not the best worker in the world. They don't really care that much about that. They don't. I'm not saying they hate it. I'm not saying they don't watch Gunther and Sami Zayn and love it. But it's not the priority.
No.
It seemed to indicate to me that Solo Sikoa was sort of like... Being the guy who pulls the strings now, obviously he's aligned with Tama Tonga, betrayed Jimmy Uso. Jimmy and Jay get back together.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird if they go with Roman after all he's done.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you were right all along. We should be. What? This doesn't matter. This is proper E-Fed stuff. But Solo, Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu versus the OG bloodline.
Yeah.
Why not go with that?
Be amazing.
I'd Jacob Fatu is a complete moves with a Z god. I'm not saying he's mortal than that. Does he need to be? I'll enjoy watching him.
Just show the clip of that fan stepping out of line.
Yeah.
There you go. Drew C says, does TK think the audience watch all the random content, including ROH, or does he not realize how often he beats guys? A lot of them lack credibility.
Sorry, one more time.
Does he think he realizes, does he think everyone watches everything, or does he also not realize that he beats guys on other things as well?
I think he has his cake and eats it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that works more than half the time.
I got annoyed. And me, you, and Andy had a bit of a back and forth about this when we were getting ready for the Jay White match, and we weren't prepared for what was about to come. Where I was like, so Jay White, they do the trail of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, etc., and then he injures Darby Allin. Then I was like, I haven't seen him since. I know he wasn't at the tapings in Canada or whatever. And Andy was like, oh, they've been doing stuff on Rampage. I was like, mate, they could have done 30 seconds. Here's what happened on Rampage, yeah. Or even a minute on Collision.
I think it's
less watched than it's like Dynamite. You know, fair enough if you do something and then forget about it for 2 weeks and come back to it. People should still remember that, arguably. Do something on Collision. Okay, less people will see it, but chances are people will catch it and you can just refer to it on Dynamite. Rampage? That's where you hide, like,
that's why
getting wins again.
Yeah. No. If they're going to do something eventful on Rampage, you better damn sure recap it on Dynamite. I'm not saying I'm a goldfish. I'm saying that if Tony Khan tried with Rampage and people just happened to not watch it in great number, I'd maybe have a different opinion and think, well, it's your fault for not watching it. Look at the shows. They're really good. They've got this match here. This wrestler appears on it quite a lot. This storyline development is really cooking. I'm not talking about Zack Knight. I'm talking about an actual good story. It's Tony Khan who has conditioned his fan base to say, thanks for watching. I've got enough people, I think, watching it to make this all viable and keep Warner happy. But I say, if you are a floating voter, if you're like, this, you watch Dynamite. I need you for Dynamite. I don't need you for this. It's his fault.
Yeah.
He's the one who stigmatized Rampage as the C show.
We love people who get, you know, get everything there wrestling related through our podcast, and we appreciate it. And as we always say, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this without support. I don't remember more than a couple of tweets saying, there's a Rampage preview and review gone. People didn't care.
People do not give a flying. I agree.
ROH is even worse.
Yes, it's even worse for that. Another thing that is becoming apparent to me is like my subjective tastes and what I revere about my own wrestling fandom and history of it. It is an awkward collision with what goes on. I think Shibata is a demigod.
Mm.
People see him as a loser in AEW. I hate it, mm-hmm. but it's no less true. Wins and losses matter, and I think you make a salient point. Was it Drew C?
Yes. Hi to...
Drew C, who I think it is.
I think so.
The loveliest guy.
Mm.
Not the loveliest, you're all lovely, but one of the loveliest.
Hi to Aditya, who simply says, Hamlet running from the grind. No, to be fair, he had 2 weeks off, so he needs some time to recover from his time off. We think it's half term.
Well, it might be half term because me and Hamlet both have kids, obviously. We are dadly boys. And the half terms, depending on your school district, they never really run parallel.
No.
Which is that good or bad for the pods? Yeah, it means we're off at different times.
It helps a little bit.
Helps a little bit. Thanks, school.
And before we came on, I pulled a face, one of many I often pull at you.
Yeah, please specify.
And you said, what's going on over there? And I said, oh, I'll tell you. Shout out to Glenn Chapman, who has brought this to my attention. I was unaware of this until now. Glenn says, how giddy is Wilborn at the announcement of Tony D and Stax getting action figures this year?
Oh, my God.
What?
Boys, they made it.
I thought the sentence was going to say, with them rumoured, the family main roster. Action figures!
How much fun would you have with that? That velour tracksuit. It's the,
What outfit? Parker hood?
Yeah,
what outfit?
Does that look plastic, or would it actually have the... will the hat come off or not?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's weird. Like, I can imagine fur is going to look difficult to get on an action figure.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a little bit perturbed. We'll see how it comes out. But yeah, the fur is going to be hard.
Biggie Spell 2 says, Rossi Ogawa launched his new promotion today with Julia main eventing their first show. Is there any chance WWE lets her continue doing this? I assume it must have been with their blessing.
Yeah, yes, yeah, they're not working hand in hand.
I would assume so. Julia, obviously, there was that bit where she was at Stand and Deliver. I think I read subsequent to that. At Stand and Deliver, I do apologise. Sorry, I'm already looking ahead to Spring Break, indeed. I'm not doing anything. I've got less stuff to do. The bit where she was like, bloody hell, what's all that noise? Apparently, she didn't realise she was the one on the screen afterwards. Okay. That's why she was like, oh, it's all this noise about, eh? But yeah, amazing fans knew she was, considering they know a video package, but still. You sense it's a working relationship, isn't it?
Yeah,
Julia's going to be awesome in WWE.
Yeah, the letter.
Well, yeah, that's the caveat. Yeah,
she is stiff. I'm assuming that'll be the norm going forward, that they will loan talent to the fledgling outfit, and they will then, in return, ask the fledgling outfit to develop talent on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to work. Be interesting to see WWE do Joshi. They didn't really do British, the Grapes. Mm. Didn't really do Brit Res very well.
No.
did they? They've never historically done... the CWC.
It's very, very dribs and
drabs. Oh, sorry. Cruiserweight Wrestling. Cruiserweight Classic.
Cruiserweight Classic, yeah.
As opposed to the Capital Wrestling Center, which completely sucked their heads. Yeah, they can do it. Josh is a completely different, distinct thing. And it's not in itself Joshy. There's sub-genres different ways he can present it. We'll see.
Mark Lee Willis, thank you as always for joining us, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Are we seeing the airing of the all-in stuff too much through a petty lens when it could be viewed as a way of placing FTR's AEW saviours? In my opinion, yes.
Say again?
So is this not about being petty towards Punk, but rather heightening the hatred towards the Bucks, and like the only people who can save us from this is FTR?
Yeah, they're having their cake and eating it too. They've came up with a very thin kayfabe explanation to obscure the real purpose of why they wanted to do that, and that was to try and portray, successfully, some would argue, CM Punk as this incredibly aggressive guy with a loose grasp on the truth and his own interpretation of the truth. I didn't come away from that thinking, oh, thank God for Dax. Someone respects his business. Huh? I came away from that footage thinking, well, you've tried.
Yeah.
You have tried.
Ladder match now, isn't it? For the
Can't get pinned in a ladder match.
Right. Parenting coming in now. Here's your vegetables. Eat them. I'll give you a nice dessert afterwards, okay? Because Steve Nicolakopoulos, thank you as always for your questions, Steve.
What a name.
The former Edward Shiraz Hands has given us a cheeky question, and I'll get to Mox as IWGP Heavyweight Champion for you. G'day, handsome non-virgins, says Steve. Can they turn the ship around by re-signing Matt Hardy and strapping him up with all the titles, having been air about it until Shane O'Mac beats him because he's still got it?
I would take Shane O'Mac and AEW in a heartbeat. I would absolutely take him in a heartbeat. I'm sorry. I hate him. Never liked him in WWE after, 1999, where he's a good little pissant. There are increasingly few forbidden doors left. There are increasingly few... Like, the surreal has become normal. Like, what we need now is 3 years of it just being boring.
Yeah.
That's what we need. And I'm thinking, oh, Shibata's on Collision again. Oh, that's good. Imagine, 3 years ago, I'd be like, oh, yeah. I need it to be crap for 3 years,
yes.
Basically. Shane's one of the few. Let's have a look at that.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, you can go to MLW if you like. Sure they would... Do with the help.
Mm-hmm.
Or the NWA.
Johan Benson.
Some wrestling promotion overseas that I've never heard of.
Johan Benson says, thoughts on Mox as IWGP champion?
That's a good
photo of him goes hard, doesn't it, with the blood and the title. And the
photo of him goes really hard. I don't think much of the... I think the match with Naito was amazing. I thought he was bang up for it, which is good.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's a good idea, personally. I think Mox and New Japan you could make the argument is even better than Mox in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not been in it as long, but some of Mox's work in New Japan Pro Wrestling has been absolutely incredible. He seems to really love it. He's always said, I want the ball. I mean, he said this in a promo himself, I want the ball. He did a appearance on the sessions when he was like lamenting the fact that the one time he was given the ball, it's like, you're the ace of this company. We trust you to have it for like a year. It was 2020. It's like, oh, f***ing sake.
Yeah.
And when he got the ball since, it was always like in that sort of caretaker manager role, mm-hmm. if you like. Use a football analogy, when it was like the Punk shadow and everything else. He is insistent that he's nice. I've seen the proof, 2020, he was amazing. So I'm all for it. My only problem, and you know, these things matter more than one show, is that Naito, as IWGP champion, could have really made Forbidden Door. Because yeah. I worry about Forbidden Door this
Naito
year.
Naito was one of your few picks of like, well, that's the one of the few matches they haven't done.
A Naito singles match is one of the few things New Japan hasn't done. And no offense, it's not as if like they've got many other options to really make it seem like they are on equal footing as promotions, even just to fake it for a night. A big time Naito
maybe
singles match.
Maybe he's freeing him up for Swerve.
Maybe. Potentially, but maybe that's why. I mean, I don't think they're going to job him out. He's too important to them. But no, I'm all in favor of it. Mox versus Shooter is a potential match. Honestly, I think this is it needed something.
Yes,
and it's got something. I can have no complaints.
Devin Dowling says Omega's response makes me think he's WWE ready. Thoughts?
To the
Punk, when you say we're not mates, or we're not, there's no beef. I think he said we're not mates, but there's no beef.
Yeah, I think Omega's just a hell of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think he's making overtures to WWE, and even if he wanted to, he's screwed. It was only last year that he signed was described as the long term extension. I don't know. He's just a pretty candid guy. I don't think he's WWE bound. Not in his head. I don't even know if he would necessarily want to go. There's any point that you'd want to go, probably now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of them could be forgiven for wanting to go. I don't see it in his future, but that's only because it's legitimately impossible. So,
but then again, considering what we've seen in the last few years, who knows? They could just say, actually, we're just going to release you from your contract.
Yeah,
and then he goes and turns up in the Rumble or something. Karthik, thank you for your question. Love the coverage, guys.
Thank you.
Sige, we'll disagree with you. Sige will disagree, sorry, but in my
opinion... right, okay, I was going to say, we're talking about gay.
Sige will disagree, but in my opinion, the Fed's become the promo company over the last 8 months with Rock, Cody, Punk, Drew, Sammy, etc.
I don't disagree.
How would you rank Cody's chase in modern times?
No, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Subjectively, I prefer Hangman's.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it was plotted with that... There were moments where I was like, are they going to... watch this,
mm-hmm.
or they completely wrong-footed me. Between, was it Fight for the Fallen, where he lost the 10-man tag, he took the fall. We talk about all the time, the Brian Cage stuff. It genuinely, they did a masterful job of telling you, he's the guy, every indication points towards him being the guy, and then on the way of like, they're going to botch this, or when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen? I thought it did an unbelievable job. Whereas with Cody... it was, the drama was more on a meta level of, are they going to cruelly deprive us of this, as opposed to this really fictional doubt. Like, if you look at the Cody versus Brock Lesnar program, it's the epitome of, just watch the video package.
Yes.
Do I need to see the first two matches? Do I know it's going to a trilogy with two sort of cloudy outcomes, and then your final match? Like, yeah, I know how this works. Mm-hmm. It's a WWE program. But, it was all worth it in the end for the drama on the night. WWE is the promo company. I'm really struggling to wrap my head around this, but it's no less true.
We said on the Raw preview earlier, more than happy to have an opening show promo from new champion Cody Rhodes on every show going forward for a bit.
Yeah, they've nailed it.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's like part of me is still, you hear some of the drivel that people on the undercard come out with. Even some of the lines given to Becky Lynch about like the tree and the acorn or whatever.
Oh God, yeah.
Some of it's still drivel. Some of it's still completely inauthentic. Some of it is still real people would never talk like that. But at the very tippy top level, not only are the promos, I mean, the heel Hollywood Rock came back. I mean, no one's touching that. No one in wrestling history, past, present, promotion, initials, no one's touching that. Cody's amazing at it. Drew is really finding rhythm. Even I don't think he's perfect, but CM Punk will sharpen his blade. CM Punk's there. He's amazing at it. It's a promo company now. And what's irritating, and I know I'm very sort of all over the place when it comes to my AEW coverage, and I think it's because the promotion itself is all over the place. So they have the resources. They just don't use them enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about this a million times. Eddie Kingston is one of the best promos ever. They've given him a gimmick of, I don't like talking.
Yeah, that was wild.
I just like to wrestle. I don't need to talk. Talking's for performers. I'm a real guy who goes out there and wrestles. You can be both. Mm-hmm. You should be both. You're amazing at this. They don't do enough promos.
How did you get your start in this company?
Yeah. They do not do enough promos. The talent's there. I think if you go tally up them rosters, yes, The Rock's different, obviously. Cody Rhodes is like, unbelievable. You tally up the talk. I think there's better talkers than AEW.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more, like pound for pound or whatever you want to say. But they just don't get the opportunity to do it as often.
Marcel Laviolette, thank you as always, Marcel, for joining us and for your question. Morning, the wise man, Michael Sidgwick, and the whole dad show, Will Warren. Do you think last week's Dynamite encapsulates the AEW and CM Punk relationship? Good separate, not so much together.
I don't think they're in any way, shape, or form. I just need it to go. I just want it. I thought it was done. It was finished.
Mm-hmm.
It came back again. Just they are increasingly defined by CM Punk, and I think it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. What a black eye it is on that company. They cannot stop being gotten to by CM Punk when he no longer works there.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great marketer CM Punk is, by the way. Like, not being funny.
What did he post? Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. He goes, he just knows exactly what to say at any given moment, even if he might contradict what he's already said. He's going on that Ariel Helwani interview, where I was like, I'm in the business of selling out buildings. I happen to be in a company that sells them out right now. He's able to effectively frame himself as Jim Londos.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, I saw the Tarp and the Collision premiere.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't selling out buildings. He did a really good job, but not a great job. As a draw in AEW, after a while, plateaued. But now, because he's so goddamn clever, he is able to go, well, hang on, I'm kind of a key player at the promotion that's red hot and white hot and selling out all these buildings. You're struggling to get, what, $2,500 for a TV taping. Maybe you should listen to Jim Londos over here. Like, he's going to beat you with his words.
Yeah.
Even if those words...
And his version of events.
And even if you can just... I've just done it there. Unpick, unpack, unpack.
Yeah.
All right, you're talking bollocks there. You weren't that much of a draw, really, if you look at that gate. If you look at the TV rating for your first match against MGF... It's not really dollars and cents. He'll still beat you, even if he's talking complete bollocks. Just avoid him.
Sailor Airman.
Like, run away from the boss. You know what I mean?
We're talking in the office earlier about potential of Rock versus Punk as well.
Well,
Oh, my God.
Rock survived both nights of Mania without getting injured.
Let's forget about how bad the first matches they had sucked. Get excited all over again.
Sailor Emmons says, for Wilborn, does Tony D decide that he's now willing to do whatever it takes to get the NXT world title and finishes the family story?
A real question? Are you doing something? There's a certain someone in the wrestling media who makes up questions that get asked to him and then answers them himself.
That is, Sailor Emmons regularly joins us for WrestleCulture Live.
Okay, I'll check the logs and the data after the fact.
He always wants to...
It's a suspicious question, that's all.
He always likes a mention of Nathan Fraser.
When I'm cleaning windows.
And his fellow new tag team, NXT tag team champion, Axiom.
No!
Congratulations to both.
It's got one of two ways, and surprise, surprise, I love both. He either dethrones Ilya Dragunov by hook or by crook. He realizes he kind of has to cheat. But I don't think they're going to go that direction because it seems they've set out, right, well, Trick beats Mello in the steel cage match and then at spring break, dude. Trick beats Ilya, freeing Ilya to go off in the draft, which we all anticipate is going to happen anyway. And then I wouldn't take the title off Trick for a long time. But having said that, the rumor I'm hearing today about them being under consideration for a move to the main roster, I like the idea of him saying, guys, don't worry about wrestling in NXT anymore. We'll just do some vignettes from the restaurant because I've negotiated as a deal and he's worked his way into getting into the draft and the family on the main roster.
Oh, my God.
I think, and then subsequently Tony D versus The Rock probably would be, I think, my favourite thing in the world ever ahead of the birth of my son and my marriage to my wife. So don't tell her that.
It's on YouTube now.
Yeah, I'm not joking, love.
You might have to clip it. Trey obviously is not working The Rock. Who would the family feud with on the main roster?
I mean, Judgment Day would be fun. Judgment Day would be loads of fun. Tony D versus Logan Paul works for me. I can't quite get my head around it. It was like when Punk came back to wrestling. You're like, he's in AEW and then he's in NWE. And you're like, right, which match do you want? I want all of them. Bringing Dominic Mysterio into the family. The opportunities are endless. Sailor Roman also says, Wibbon, who is your best friend? Wade Barrett, MJF, or Big E? It's kind of hard, you know, to pick a favorite. But I'll go. Rey Mysterio, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll go MJF because I just miss him so much. And my God, do I miss him on AEW television? I'm saying to you, I was just watching Collision going, this is something like the main event is Collision. Great. Some fantastic wrestling across the show. I really wish I could care about someone on this show. I felt nothing.
We're doing a review of that later.
Yeah, we are.
Checking out.
But we'll be professional. Well, one of us will. Rorik the Red says, good morning, gentlemen. I want to say how much I appreciate y'all's nuance takes, even when I don't agree with them sometimes. Keep up the amazing work. Y'all make the IWC better.
Oh, thank you
very much. Amanda Slaughter says, so excited to finally catch this live. Sig, hope you enjoyed the chocolates. Question, if someone has never seen AEW, what would be the first three matches they should watch?
Ooh. If they were inclined to like wrestling, as we've established, yes. People just hate it if they don't like it. If they WWE leaning, maybe they're getting a little bored. Maybe they think this Paul Levesque too big for his boots.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, I'm sick of his energy. Bad man. Bad, potentially complicit man. And they want to go to AEW. It's weird because you don't want to show them the vibe. Oh, by the way, the party's over. But Frazier Cranium is a great guy. We love the Dark Order versus the Elite, where you get the, you don't have to wear a hat to be a cowboy. And then you get the Space Jam entrance. So it's like, oh, you'd be really frivolous. Mm-hmm. Little dickheads compared to this guy on his quest of how to be a proper man and what that means nowadays. They got these arseholes doing Space Jam. It's a great spectacle. This like irreverent, it's like that irreverent feeling and sensibility, and yet it's also the biggest and most emotional thing in the world on that night. How the hell do you put those two things together? That's outstanding. So Dark Order versus the Elite from Fight for the Fallen 2022, I think it was. That would be one of the three. Omega Danielson at Grand Slam, just for, look how big this is. How great this is. It's absolute best. Look how surreally, impossibly great this could be. And as for the third thing, in terms of when I talk about how much detail goes into the craft of the best matches and how often they've just got no right to create such magic for the parking lot fight.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you do that? Where it's like everything else felt bittersweet during the pandemic, but the exception of the first stadium stampede of, someone's appealing to a crowd that isn't there through muscle memory. That's a reminder. All these constant reminders of us, we're better with fans. Mm-hmm. At the time, you try not to think about it. And yet the parking lot fight was like, I'm glad there's no fans, actually. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened. And it's incredible.
Can I make a suggestion?
If you want.
It's from a period you may not remember in AEW's history, Sige. February 2020.
Yeah.
Because I've actually done this. And they're not wrestling fans. And I don't think they've been converted to become wrestling
fans. No pen,
fans.
By the way.
Hey?
No pen.
I thought you were going to do like a magic trick then and just make it suddenly appear. But...
I believe in Joe Pendry.
Brilliant. I showed some non-wrestling fans and they didn't just automatically go, oh, cool, time's the football on or anything like that. It was Revolution 2020. It was Pac versus Orange Cassidy because it's such a brilliant thing of like, you know how wrestlers look? Yeah. Well, there's what a wrestler looks like. Look at him.
Yeah.
He jumps all over the place. He's great.
Look at that body.
Yeah.
That physique.
And he's taking on this guy who's wearing sunglasses. he's probably going to wrestle the majority of this match with his hands in his pockets. What? Because they don't necessarily want, especially if they're not, you know, definite pure pro wrestling fans, this amazing parade of moves. Sometimes they're just like, right, well, who do I want to... Just give me someone I want to support.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's kind of funny and cool. I like him. And that
he guy, can
that
sell guy, his ass off.
That guy's called the Bastard. I get a feeling I shouldn't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all about that dynamics. Just circle back to the start. We need the dynamics back.
Final couple of questions. Oh, Aditya's been back on. Aditya Krishnamurthy, thank you for your question. I'm just going to read this verbatim. Rock Wolfpack Bloodline versus Roman, Usos, and Sammy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. The Rock and Jacob Fatu. Kick ass.
Yep. Works for me. Roman tagging with Sammy along with the Usos.
I mean, that's pretty incredible.
I will try and finish on a high point, but I have to mention this, and it's going to mention something you don't like. So, Mr. Twilly, thank you for your question.
When you said Mr. there, I thought somebody else was going to appear.
No. Cheers, guys. Sige, did you hear Bully Ray say he wishes Kenny Omega wrestled with RKO so Kenny would improve to another level from learning from Randy?
I mean, Bully Ray's an idiot. Bully Ray is a complete idiot. What do you want us to say? I mean...
Slow it down, kid.
Slow it down, kid. Learn how to... Right, I'm going to entertain this, right?
Okay.
Isn't the whole point of if you slow it down, you'll really get the crowd? Isn't the whole idea of like, oh, everyone can enjoy a move? To get fans on a deep emotional level, you tell stories. That generally along the lines of what Bully Ray is saying here. And Randy Orton is a guy who can slow it down and all the rest of it. Name me a Randy Orton match ever, right? That has elicited the same emotional response as Okada Omega 1 or Okada Omega 4. Okada Omega 4 is the better match for me, but I've made this point a few times. Omega Okada 1, right? There's a moment, I would say about 5 minutes before the finish, when you think, Jesus Christ, how is this not the finish?
Yeah.
How do we get more of this? This is amazing. Where there's like this feeling, when they're both just selling at this point, 40 minutes in, and the crowd, it's like nothing I've ever heard. I've been in wrestling crowds very recently, privileged to be a part of them, by the way, where it's like, you all go, ooh, at the right time, or the same time, mm-hmm. right? Like, when Sami Zayn's going to do the Brain Buster, you hear this, it's like the same decibel level of incredulity and excitement and hope.
Yeah.
That's the noise. It's like, ah! Everyone goes, ah, everyone makes the same kind of noise. You could be, and that's not performative, or it can be performative where you're really enjoying, mm-hmm. oh, this is awesome, and you do your claps. Okada Omega 4, 40 minutes in, there's a bit where like every single person in the crowd, they're so lost in it that they're not on the wavelength of anybody else. They're in a deep personal state of like, I cannot believe how good this is. go back and watch it. I wish the entire wrestling world would go back and watch this match for that moment. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is the most special thing I think I've ever seen in my life. Steve Corino does commentary, and all he can say at this 40-minute mark, where they've done like about five different finishes, but it's not the finish, and everyone's just like, oh my God, there's so much left, and this is really special. Steve Corino just goes, woo! Woo! He's just talking gibberish because he cannot believe how good it is. Name me a Randy Orton match that has elicited that reaction. You could watch Randy Orton's loudest match on a volume of 50. Does yours go up to 100 on a TV?
I think
on the
so,
circle,
yeah.
Right? On 50, right? And you could watch Omega Ricardo 1 at the 40-minute mark on 8. And that's still louder.
Yeah. Final question. Good question to finish on here from Jonathan Riding. Jonathan.
The thing about Bully, it's like he didn't do this, did he? He just gave himself CTE. He didn't do chin locks and make them come up. Why does he go on like this? That's a grift. I've just fallen for it.
I was the same with the Mark Henry thing the other day about Kairi Sane.
No one else noticed.
Yeah. Also, they only got Bully Ray popped by turning the lights off at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, but anyway. Jonathan Riding.
I love that. He put his glasses and gets a pop.
Jonathan Riding gives us our final question. Interesting to pin down an answer from you on this one. How long do you guys think Cody will hold the title for?
There's Bash at Berlin.
Ooh.
I could see that.
I'm so conflicted because I was 31st of August.
That's a while, isn't it?
Yeah, before in a bit months.
It seems a bit short, doesn't it? Maybe you can think and go for the world heavyweight. Look, Rumble. Realistically, as much as I'd like to see Cody versus Gunther, I can't see them. I just kind of see them doing it at Bash in Berlin. As much as I would love to see that, I just don't think it makes the most business sense. If Cody is continuing to draw on the punters and the TV ratings are still incredible and all metrics support him, what's the point in taking it off him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times...
Cody Rock title match next year, potentially, at Mania.
Absolutely. We have seen between Gunther and Roman, like long, long, long heel title reigns, and it got a bit much. Not for Gunther, because he's incredible. I'm not saying Roman isn't in his own very different way, but how many times could you have watched Solo Sikoa put the thumb in someone's neck? Like, the thing about a babyface title reign is that it gives a completely different complexion to WWE TV. You can get more creative with your match finishes of how does he get out of this? Because with Roman, it was like, oh, well, Solo just puts a thumb, or like the Usos interfere. And then you have little dickheads like me saying, well, we should be banned from ringside, or you should do a cage match and do a cage match properly. I just think the longer Cody's the champion, it's a bit different. And then when a heel does it, it'll mean something more. And then he can begin the Roman-esque cycle anew, where heel he finally feels like it's not just an excuse to keep the title on him. That's like seeing him as champion. I think he deserves it. And I think what I think doesn't really matter. And if it makes business sense, they'll keep that title on him as for as long as possible.
Yeah, Triple H, obviously a big fan of long title reigns. And you know, you and I have talked very recently, Raw Preview, about potentially very short title reigns and how that would be a fun change of pace. But yeah, barring injury, I wouldn't take it off him before WrestleMania next year.
Yeah,
I'd probably even take him off him at WrestleMania next year. But I do like the idea, for example, of Cody being champion and the looming threat, not of Gunther, because I think you're right, I think they'll probably do World Heavyweight Championship now, because especially because of what he did for the IC title in terms of you want to keep that other title, not just to be like, oh, it's the B-show title. Yeah. And Gunther holding that would be another, like, oh, bloody hell, how'd you get that off him?
Yeah.
I like the idea of Logan Paul being Mr. Money in the Bank, thinking, he can't end Cody's reign. The threat of that would be a load of fun as well. But yeah, I think with all the potential matchups you can do now, and you've got The Rock, Cody doesn't need a title. A bit like The Rock, Roman doesn't need a title.
That's the thing. They think it does.
Yeah.
They want it to be as big as possible. So you've got to get into their way of thinking, I think.
And, you know, but you expect them to have a title around that with all the title bollocks that they did on the Raw after Mania. And Cody Roman 3, four, I suppose, if you count the tag. But whatever that is, that's going to want a title around it. And wherever you can do that at a Mania, you could do it at one of the big four, Saudi, I don't know. But
if you look at the precedent as well in WWE history, and when they've really made a guy, Hogan obviously didn't drop it for years and years and years and years and years. Warrior did, but he was a bust. He never really believed in Bret Hart. Like, if you look at guys they believe in, Austin was different. He always got the title back, but it was a proper hot potato era of inflation. You needed to do them on TV to pop ratings and keep ahead of it, WCW and the like. But if you look at the modern equivalent, you're looking at John Cena. He had it for well over a year, and really it was only because he got injured that they took it off him the first time. So I think we're looking at a long one.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, deserved it. If you ask me now to book him at every single pay-per-view for the rest until WrestleMania 41 without forecasting jumps or people, I could easily book matches between now and 41, all matches that people would want to see Cody Rhodes in title matches.
Paul?
But I'm not suggesting we do that. I'd have him hold it until MJF comes to the company. But that's just me. I don't know when that's going to be either.
A while.
Finally, before we wrap up, Aditya says, please can we get a Dead Man compilation like Stax? Well, who knows?
Maybe I don't do compilations.
Respect the compilation.
I don't respect compilations. You're going to stay with me the whole time.
But thank you.
Ain't no highlight reel. Tell stories, you know. You want your highlight reels, you can watch that AEW. You can watch those gymnasts and the sit out, flip outs. God damn spot fests. I don't do spot fests. I'm a real guy.
I don't do spot fests, but wrestle me. I'll make you famous.
Anyway, thanks to everyone
who's joined us. No compilations. No compilations.
Thank you to everyone who's joined us today. Thank you
all. It's not my speed. My speed's real slow, like. Too slow, if anything.
Unless I'm running through the crowd after my match. And I'm like Sonic the goddamn Hedgehog. Sorry, I shouldn't mention him. He's on those damn video games.
They're video games. I prefer guns.
Anyway, thank you to everyone who's joined us today. Thank you for all your questions. Thank you for your donations, as always. Let us know your thoughts on everything we discussed, either in the comments section below or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch now, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Emma Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow our brilliant producer at It's Adam Nicholas. And follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But for now, it's been your questions answered. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for all of your questions and for joining us today. And we will see you soon.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.